This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وخليله بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة تركهم على المحجة البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك صلوات ربي وسلامه عليه عباد الله الله عز وجل says in the Quran يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون Allah says O you who believe fear Allah as he deserves to be feared and do not die except in a state of Islam And Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدًا وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا Allah says, O mankind, fear your Lord who created you from a single soul and produced from that soul its mate, and made from their combination many men and women, so fear your Lord whom you ask each other by and by the ties of kinship. Verily Allah is ever watchful over you. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا Allah says, O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, He will correct for you your deeds and forgive you your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, then he is indeed victorious. As for what follows. I wanted to begin this khutbah as I begin a lot of khutbahs recently, and that's a reminder to everyone to get off of their cell phones during the khutbah. And that is because I would hate for a person to come and spend 30 minutes of their time or 45 minutes of their time and not receive the reward of it because they were distracted or they needed to send a message. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمْعَةِ فَاسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعِ Allah Azza wa Jalla says, O you who believe, when the call to prayer is made on the day of Friday, then hasten to the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla and leave transactions. And so the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he told us that مَنْ لَمَسَ الْحَصَى فَقَدْ لَغَى Whoever touches or plays with the pebbles in the sand, in the masjid, that person has committed vain talk. And whoever commits vain talk, there's no jum'ah for them. And so we are so restricted in our actions on Friday in the Jum'ah prayer that in fact, if you were to see someone speaking or if you were to see someone distracted, you are not allowed to correct them while you're in the khutbah. Just worry about yourself. And that's actually something that's going to be relevant to the khutbah today. But I wanted to begin to remind my brothers and my sisters to, for these 30 minutes, be in the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal and leave the world outside. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was given Jawami' al-Kalim. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was given comprehensive, concise speech. In a few words, he would say something with magnificent meaning. And I remember once I was with a brother of mine, and he was a beautiful brother, part of the masjid, very active. He was a young man. He was very responsible. He was a very decent human being. He was married. He was a young father. And we were sitting outside, and he got onto his phone. And then he got into a really, really intense text message. And I didn't know what was happening, but I saw him smiling and laughing, and he was very invested in it. And so I asked him, like, what are you doing? And he said, oh, I just, you know, I like to go on YouTube and comment on things and get people upset and go back and forth with them. This is what you would call a troll on the internet. And I was shocked because this brother to me was so decent. He was such a good brother, part of the masjid, very involved. I did not think that this would be the type of person who goes online and causes fights through anonymity. He's someone who's not known or he's not using his real name. He just goes on, comments on people's videos. He's a musharib. He's just someone who kicks up dust and enjoys it, right? It's a pastime for him. But we may not realize that this is very dangerous. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked by one of his companions, Uqba ibn Amir. He was asked by Uqba ibn Amir, what is salvation? He said, what is salvation? And when you look at the questions of the companions, they asked questions that were extremely relevant and extremely practical. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he says about the companions, his generation, he says, كانوا والله أفضل هذه الأمة وأبرها قلوبا وأعمقها علما وأقلها تكلفا. They were the best of this ummah. They had the most righteous hearts. They were the least superficial. They were very practical people. So the questions that the companions would ask would be things like, if I do this, will I enter paradise? What is something that will bring me closer to paradise and further away from the hellfire? They wanted to know actionable things that they could do, that they could immediately implement. And so Uqba ibn Amir asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says, "Man najah?" What is salvation? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives him three keys. He says, "Amsik alayka lisanak, wal yasa'ku baytuk, wabki ala khati'atik." He says, guard your tongue and let your house suffice you and cry over your sins. These three things are what we're going to take away today, inshallah ta'ala. First is the guarding of the tongue. That you are careful about what you say, and that we recognize that this small part of our body is going to be the thing that is going to cast the most people into the hellfire on the Day of Judgment. Mu'adh ibn Jabal asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, are we held into account for what our tongues say?" And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Thakiratka ummuk ya Mu'adh, wa hal yakubbu an-nasu ala ru'usihim aw qala manakhirihim fi an-nar illa hasa'idu al-sinatihim?" Is what will cast people into their hellfire on their faces except for what their tongues harvest. And so this tongue of yours and mine, and we speak all day, and we comment on everything, and that has been magnified by our online presence, where we all have platforms where we can type and talk and weigh in on things. Do we measure what we say? Do we pay attention to what we say? Do we guard what we say? When we're in our gatherings, you know, part of this religion is solitude. Part of this religion is that a person sits with themselves and is comfortable not being in the company of people. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was being prepared for his message, Aisha radiallahu anha says, "Hubbiba ilayhi al-khala," that he loved to be in solitude by himself. He was comfortable in his own skin. He was comfortable not being around anyone. He was comfortable in deep reflection over himself and the state of his community sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have become a community where we're not comfortable being alone. In fact, when we are alone, we are quick to get online. Because I need to be distracted. I can't think by myself. And so, guarding your tongue, measuring your words, paying attention to what you say. Umar radiallahu anhu once came in and he found Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu grabbing his tongue and he was yanking it. And Umar said, "May Allah have mercy on you, Abu Bakr, what are you doing?" And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, "This has put me in a lot of trouble. This tongue of mine has put me in a lot of trouble." And so if that is the tongue of Abu Bakr, then what about our tongues? Do you comment on things needlessly? Do you say things just to get a laugh? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "May his nose be in dust, may his nose be in dust, may his nose be in dust." The person who says something and he exaggerates in it so that people can laugh. Do we insult people? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, on the Day of Judgment, "Do you know who the muflis is? Do you know who the bankrupt person is?" The companion said, "No." They said, "Ya Rasulullah, the bankrupt person is the one who has no money." And he said, "No, the bankrupt person is the person who comes on the Day of Judgment with their jum'ah, with their fasting, with their prayer, with their charity. They checked all of those boxes. But on the Day of Judgment, they will come and they would have spilt the blood of this person, and they will have injured this person, and they will have insulted this person. And so that person will come and take from their good deeds, and that person will come and take from their good deeds, and that person will come and take from their good deeds, until that person is bankrupted." That is the harvest of the tongue. And so the first action item is to be more cautious of what we say. Don't say things just so that your status gets liked. Don't be insulting of people just so that you can get retweets. Don't be that person. Because that person will come on the Day of Judgment and they may very well be bankrupt. The second, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Wal yasa'ka baytuka," Let your house be enough for you. Let your house suffice you. Now, that also statement has many layers. It's a gem of a statement. And when you reflect on it, it could be that it's the continuation of the first statement. In that, I'm not going to be the type of person who is always in every gathering, because when you're in gatherings, you need to speak needlessly. And so I gauge my invitations. I don't go out just for every time a person tells me, come hang out. My house is enough for me. I'm a homebody to some extent. But it can also mean that a person's focus is their own home. That I'm not the type of person who is quick and very involved and very invested in everybody else's issues. So-and-so got divorced, so-and-so lost their job. Did you hear about what happened to so-and-so? I'm looking and I'm peering into everybody's house and I'm not paying attention to what's going on in my own house. I'm invested in everybody else's issues. I'm not paying attention to what's happening of my own issues with my own family. My house is not enough for me. And this person, I don't need to know you and you don't need to know me for us to all agree that we all have problems. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَتٍ. We've created mankind to be in a state of turmoil. That's the human condition. Every one of us transitions from one set of problems to the next in all of our stages of life. We have what will occupy us and we have what will busy us if we look inward. And let not one of us think that I'm in a situation where alhamdulillah, Allah bless me, my children are all good, they're all angelic. Because the good parent is one who's always worrying of their children. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءِ إِذْ حَضْرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتِ إِذْ قَالَ لِبَنِيهِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي قَالُوا نَعْبُدُ إِلَهَكَ وَإِلَهَ آبَائِكَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَعِيلُ وَإِسْحَاقَ إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. Yaqub alayhi salam, when he was on the throes of death and he's a prophet, the son of a prophet, the father of a prophet, the grandson of a prophet, if there's anyone who feels secure that his kids are going to be okay, it would have been Yaqub alayhi salam. But Yaqub alayhi salam, even in his throes of death, Allah Azza wa Jal records the conversation that a worried father has with his children. And he says, what are you going to worship after me? And they said, we're going to worship your God and the God of our fathers, Ibrahim and Ismail and Ishaq, one God alone in submission to him. And so this is the concern of a parent. And the last meaning that I wanted to reflect on with regards to وَلِيَسَعْكَ بَيْتُكَ is, you know, we are a society right now in which people, millions of people, are involved in watching millions of people, people who are getting paid millions, to just live out their daily lives in their homes. And this reality TV phenomena is incredible. Millions of people are just watching people live their lives at home. But one of the problems that comes with that is you're not watching poor people live their lives at home. That's not what's attractive. What is attractive is to watch the lifestyles of the rich and famous. But the Prophet ﷺ told us to do the opposite. He didn't tell us to spend our hours and our days looking into the lives of the rich and the famous. The Prophet ﷺ said, if you're going to look at anybody with regards to the dunya, look at those who are below you. And look at those who are above you when it comes to the religion. Why? Because when you look at those who are below you when it comes to the dunya, that will make you more inclined to not reject the favors of Allah. When you're driving a Honda Accord and all you're doing is watching people driving Maseratis, you may feel that you have the short end of the stick. You may feel that Allah Azza wa Jalla did not bless you. But when you look and you see people who walk miles with no right, then that makes you more inclined to feel and to live the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And one of the things that I find really fascinating is, if you go online, and I would encourage all of you, all of us to do this, and that is to go online and just Google global rich list. Global rich list. And it will show you where you fall with your own salary in the world scheme of things. And so I remember looking it up, and if a person makes $80,000 a year, they're in the 97th percentile of the world. If a person makes $40,000, $45,000 a year, there's something in the high 80s of the world, if not higher, if I remember correctly. And so you can imagine someone who makes $90,000 a year, and every morning they're waking up and they're stressed out and they're upset and they feel like they have less than their neighbor and they have less than this person on TV and this athlete and this celebrity, so much less. But Allah Azza wa Jalla has preferred them over 99% of those who are on this earth. And this person is waking up every day upset and sad. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, look at those who are below you. وَلْيَسَعْكَ بَيْتُكَ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدَ قُولُ مَا سِمِعْتُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُونَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم سلم كثيرا. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave three keys to salvation. The first is, he says, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, keep and guard your tongue. The second, he said, let your house suffice you. And the third is, he said, weep over your sins. Weep over your sins. And this again is a continuation, because the person who guards their tongue, the person who unleashes their tongue on others, the person who doesn't guard their tongue, it's as if they've forgotten that they themselves are not perfect. The person who's quick to spread the sins of others or the mistake of others, it's as if that person has forgotten that they themselves have many things that Allah Azza wa Jalla has concealed. And as the Salaf said, if people are amazed by you, فَإِنَّمَا يَتَعَجَّبُونَ مِنْ جَمِيلِ سِتْرُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ. They said, if people are amazed at you, then they are simply amazed at how beautifully Allah Azza wa Jalla has concealed your sins. Because if all of our sins were exposed, we would not be able to sit with one another. The concealing of Allah Azza wa Jalla is a beautiful thing, but we should not become a people who forget our own sins. We should not become a people who bury them. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he says, the believer sees his sins as if it is a mountain that is going to fall upon them. Whereas the munafiq sees his sins like a person sees a fly. He just swipes at it here and there. Every once in a while it bothers him, he swipes at it and that's it. But the believer is stressed out over their sins. They're hopeful in Allah Azza wa Jalla's forgiveness. But that remembrance of those sins makes that person continuously ask Allah Azza wa Jalla for forgiveness. When you remember your sins a lot, you seek forgiveness for your sins a lot. If you seek forgiveness for your sins a lot, inshallah ta'ala, those sins will be erased. Ibn al-Qayyim, he says that if Allah Azza wa Jalla desires good for a servant, if Allah desires good for a servant, he places his sins in front of his eyes until he enters him into paradise. That person remembers and remembers and fears and remembers and fears and seeks forgiveness and remembers and fears until they enter into paradise through that state. That is different than the person with regards to good deeds. We do them, and then inshallah ta'ala, we keep moving forward. And we hope that Allah Azza wa Jalla accepts them. With regards to their sins, we keep them in front of our eyes. Crying over your sins. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us that of the seven who are shaded under the throne of Allah Azza wa Jalla on the day when there is no shade except for the shade of his throne, is a person who remembered Allah Azza wa Jalla in seclusion. And they cried from the fear of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, a heart that tears from the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla will not enter into the hellfire. And so spending some time where we separate from people and we have deep self-reflection and remember the things that we've done. You know, an amazing statement from Abu Ubaid ibn al-Jarrah, a great companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Amin of this Ummah. He says, I wish that I were a sheep whose family just took him, slaughtered him, and distributed his meat. And I was thinking to myself, Allahu Akbar, you know, we just celebrated Eid al-Adha, and many of us went and we sacrificed sheep, and you might have felt bad for the sheep, but nobody ever felt jealous of the sheep. Nobody ever feels jealous of the sheep. But the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, they felt like, I wish that I were that sheep. Why? So that I don't have to stand in front of Allah Azza wa Jalla and answer for my deeds. Many of the Sahaba have statements that are similar. I wish that I were a piece of grass that was just blowing in the wind. I wish that I was something that would never be resurrected after it died. Remembering the standing in front of Allah Azza wa Jal, remembering the things that we have done, seeking Allah's forgiveness, weeping over them, these are the three keys of salvation. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to grant us salvation. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to allow us to hear the speech and to follow the best of it. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to purify our hearts and to purify our tongues. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to enter us into paradise and grant us what will enter us into paradise of actions and speech. And we seek refuge in the fire and what will bring us close to it of actions of speech. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-jannah wa ma qarrab ilayha min qawlin wa amal wa na'udhu bika min an-nar wa ma qarrab ilayha min qawlin wa amal. Allahumma ati nufusana taqwaha, zakkaha anta khayru man zakkaha, anta waliyuha wa mawlaha. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معصيتك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك ومن اليقين ما تهول به علينا مصائب الدنيا ومتعنا اللهم بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا أبدا ما أبقيتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا اللهم على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا واجعل الجنة هي دارنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين ربي ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا ربي ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا ربي ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين وارحم موتانا وموت المسلمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وقولوا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله.